Our text will come from Luke chapter 15. You mark Luke 15 and then turn back to Ezekiel 34. Look beginning with verse 11 of Ezekiel 34. Here we read, "Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I'll bring them out from the people, gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I'll feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment." Now here in Ezekiel 34, we read this. Thus saith the Lord. He says, I'll feed my flock. I'll feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down. I'll seek that which was lost. I'll bring again that which was driven away. I'll build up that which was broken. I'll strengthen that which was sick. Aren't those comforting words? Aren't those comforting words for God's sheep? But listen, he says this. He says, I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. There's a warning there. God's going to punish sin. God is absolutely going to punish sin. He says, the wages of sin is death. We read in God's word, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. God judges the righteous, and he's angry with the wicked every day. How men and women can read God's word without either being comforted or scared to death is beyond me. We go to the beach. We go to the beach. Me and Abby and the boys go to the beach. It seems like every year, have for years. And down in North Carolina, where we stay, is close to a military base. And every day you hear these helicopters fly over, walking out there in the ocean, and you'll hear it before you see it. The sound of those rotors, and some of those helicopters are pretty menacing looking. I'm sure these are just practice drills, but they sure do look pretty intimidating from the sky. And I often think, what did the sound of those rotors sound like to the enemy? When they in a hostile country, when they hear the sound of those rotors, it must strike fear in their heart. For us, no fear for us, is it? It's not frightening to us. If anything, it's comforting. It's comforting. The boys, they'll get out there, and they have since they're kids, they look up there and wave at them as they fly by. But to the enemy, it has to be a foreboding sound. And, but you know, our problem concerning the gospel is this. Until God reveals it to us, We don't know we're the enemy. We don't know they're in. We know nothing of God's holiness. We know nothing of our sin until He's pleased to reveal these things to us. By nature, we don't need Him, do we? Well, these things have to be revealed to us. It has to be revealed to us that God is absolutely holy. God is absolutely, it says this in Habakkuk, thou art of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. And listen, the best that we have to offer, the best that we have to offer is filthy rags in the sight of Almighty God. Well then what hope is there? What hope is there for a sinner? What hope is there for a sinner like me? A sinner by birth, a sinner by choice, a sinner by practice. I want us to look here in Luke 15 this morning. Luke 15. Abby showed me this article this morning. It goes along with this. It says an old man testified that it took him 40 years to learn three things. He couldn't do anything to save himself, that God didn't expect him to, and that Christ had done it all. And I believe that's what we read here in these verses this morning. Look, beginning with verse 1 of Luke chapter 15. Listen to the first three verses here. It says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Are you a sinner? Are you without hope? Are you without help? Are you dead in trespasses and sin? If you are, look at this here. Can you take your place as a publican? Huh? Fall down at his feet and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Can you pray as David did? Remember that? He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight? Are you a sinner? Then draw near to him. Isn't that what they did here? They drew near to him. They drew near unto him, all the publicans and sinners. They drew near to him to hear him, to hear what he had to say. And the Pharisees and the scribes, it says they murmured. They murmured saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This man, aren't we thankful that this man receiveth sinners? This man receiveth sinners. And the Pharisees said this not as a compliment to him. They said this as an insult. This man. They just seen him as nothing more than a man. Oh, he's so much more. He's very God. Very God. He's God in human flesh. He's the God-man. Consider the condescension that Almighty God would come to this earth, that he would robe himself. It's one thing that he would come to this earth, but the fact that he would robe himself in human flesh, that he would take upon himself our nature, that he would take upon himself our sin. This man receives sinners, and not just any sinners. These were notorious sinners. These publicans were just wicked men. You read about them, but they were notorious sinners. This man receiveth sinners. And he eateth with him. You know, there's no need to be discouraged. No need to be discouraged. Come to him. No matter how unworthy, come to him. And rest in him. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with him. He said this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you we read this, all that the Father hath given to me shall come to me. and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The woman. Remember that woman with the issue of blood? How unworthy was she? And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Blind Bartimaeus, a beggar, sitting there beside the roadside begging. And the Lord's gonna pass by, and he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He must have been a miserable case because the people around him, they tried to silence him, didn't they? Huh? Be quiet. This is the master passing by. And cried out even louder, didn't he? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. God had mercy on him, didn't he? He had mercy. This man receiveth the sinners. Now quickly, I know usually we look at this, all three of these parables here, but I want us to just look at this one this morning for our Sunday school lesson. Look at verse 4. He says, what man of you, our Lord is speaking here, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? Now the first thing I believe we see here in this text is he is the shepherd. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he's the shepherd. In Zechariah 13:7, we read this, he's Jehovah's shepherd. And throughout God's word, he's referred to as the shepherd. He's the one shepherd. We read that he's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And I believe my favorite title that he bears is this one. And David spoke of it. He's my shepherd. You know what David said the Lord is? He's my shepherd. Listen, and as the shepherd, he cares for his sheep. He watches over his sheep. He knows them by name. Each one, he knows his sheep by name. He lays down his life for the sheep. He preserves and protects and keeps his sheep. These sheep, they're his sheep. We're his sheep. Our text says, what man of you having 100 sheep? They're his sheep, and as that, he can do with them what he will. He can do with them as he will. God is sovereign, and he does what he will, when he will, with whom he will. He's sovereign in all things. He can save us. He can save us, or he can pass us by. As Almighty God, he's sovereign in all things. And whatever he does, he's just and right in doing it. Second, we see the lost sheep. The lost sheep. And that's what we are all. Every last one of us are by nature. Lost sheep. Isaiah said this. Turn over to Isaiah 53. Look at verse 6 of Isaiah 53, just the first part there. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We read there's a way that seems right unto man. The end thereof are the ways of death. Back there in the garden, God told Adam, he said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it. Don't eat of it, friend. The day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Adam, what did he do? He turned to his own way. Just as we all do. Just the way of self-righteousness, the way of sin, and apart from God intervening, we'll continue in that way. All we like sheep have gone astray. And listen, we've wandered far from the fold, haven't we? Thank God. Thank God he doesn't leave his sheep in the wilderness. Turn back to Luke 15. Here it says, in the end of verse 4, it says, he goes after that which was lost until he finds it. The old hymn writer wrote this, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. By nature, we'll run. We'll run and hide from him. Isn't that what our kids do when they're in trouble? They'll maybe run up and hide in the room or go right hide under the sink or when they'll still fit under the sink. But isn't that what we run and hide? And Adam tried that, didn't he? Isn't that what Adam tried to do? Look back there in Genesis 3. Genesis 3. Look at beginning with verse 6. Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. They tried to hide themselves. Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. We run for fear of judgment, or we run because we just don't need him. Over in the Psalm, the fool has said in his heart, no God, no God for me. You know, these Pharisees that he was taught, they didn't need him, did they? They had their self-righteousness. They had their works. They didn't need him. You know, I don't know much about sheep, but I did work on a farm for a while. And I know this, when those calves, when they get out of the barn, they never go just to the edge of the barn. They go as far away, or at least it seemed like it, they always go as far away as they could to the, whatever, the farthest place away, and in the most miserable conditions too. Must be something about their nature. Must be something about our nature. Remember the prodigal son? He said he went to his father. He said, give me that which is mine. And he took his journey. He didn't go to the town next door. He said he took his journey into a far country. We've wandered far from the fold of God. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. But what do we read here in verse 4? Look at that. It says this. He goes after that which is lost until he finds it. Until he finds it. I lose something and I'll look for a little bit and then I'm usually asking Abby or the boys, where is this? But we look until we lose interest and then move on to something else. But it says here, he goes after that which is lost until he finds it. This is the Father's will which has sent me. And of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. He's not going to lose one of his sheep. He said, I'll lose nothing and I'll raise it up again in the last day. Consider Mephibosheth. All the way down there in Lodabar. How? Who's going to find him down there? Who's going to find him? David sends his servant and he says, you go down there and you find him. You bring him back to me. What about that prison guard over there in Acts 16? Paul and Silas end up in jail, cast into the innermost part of the prison. For what purpose? What good could be served from that? Paul and Silas being thrown in jail. What good? Can you imagine what people had to say about that? about Paul and Silas being cast in jail? What's the purpose of it? There's a prison guard down there and his family that are going to hear the gospel as a result of that. Wherever God's sheep are, he goes and he seeks after them until he finds them. And we hear that, we read this, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He goes and seeks until he finds it. Fourth, look at verse 5. When he finds it. Now look, it doesn't say here if he finds it, does it? If by some chance, it says when. When he finds it. When he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Now a couple things here. It says he puts that sheep up there on his shoulders. And men have created a pretty unrealistic image of this. It's always a man in a glowing white robe and a perfectly white sheep. And from what I read, I've been around cattle and I know they're pretty filthy. And from what I read, sheep are about 10 times dirtier than any calf. And usually, that animal that's wandered away from the fold, it's covered in mud. It's covered in, if it's been injured, it's covered in blood. And typically, when you put that thing up on its shoulder, whatever's on it is going to be on you, isn't it? That mud, that blood, Sam, you little ones, you've picked up a frog every now and then. You know what happens when you pick up an animal? Your hand usually ends up getting wet or dirty, and that animal wasn't wet or dirty when you picked it up. Imagine that, okay? From an animal. Whatever it is, whoever's carrying it, is covered in it. And that's, isn't that what our Lord did at Calvary? Huh? All that, my filth, my guilt, my shame, it's on Him. He bore it. He bore the sins of His people on His body, in His body on the tree. Over in Isaiah, we read this, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus Christ bore the sin of His people, and He made satisfaction. As our surety, He bore our sins. As a representative of His people, He bore our sins. Isaiah goes on to say he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we're healed. He bore our sin. And this man receiveth sinners. He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The scriptures declare this. He was made sin. He was absolutely made sin. The angel said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So he identifies with his people. He takes them up and he puts them up on his shoulder. And listen, when that sheep's put up there on his shoulders, he bears the sin of it. He bears the shame of it, the reproach of it. He bears the weight of it. He bears it all. You know, if Jonathan, you pick your boy up and you throw him up, put Gavin up on your shoulder, you're bearing all of his weight. He's contributed nothing to that, is he? When our Lord put us on His shoulders, this wasn't a 50-50 proposition. It wasn't you take the first step and I'll do the rest. It was Christ and Christ alone. He bears it. The weight of my sin, the guilt of my sin, the shame of my sin, He bears it all. For by grace are you saved through faith? And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. He must carry us. And if he were to lay us down, if he were to put us down for a minute, we'd do just like one of those animals do. We'd just take off right back out in the wilderness. Well, it says here that he delivers them. That's the fifth point. He delivers us home. He delivers us home. Look at verse 6. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors and saith unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep, which was lost. Almighty God purposed to save a people. He chose us in Christ. Chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Made the Lord Jesus Christ our surety. Suffered and died on the cross as a sinner's substitute. Died for our sin and clothed us in his very righteousness. And he gives us assurance in this that he raised him. He raised him from the dead. Look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Look beginning in verse 12 of Hebrews 10. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He brings that sheep home. He presents it faultless. Faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his Son. Isn't that reason to rejoice? We have much, much, much to be thankful for. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord? And then let's read on here. Look at verse 6. It says, when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise there shall be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which have no need of repentance. Do you need him? Do I need him? You know those Pharisees, they were convinced they needed nothing but themselves. But he said he receives sinners. They had a need, didn't they? They had a need of him. Turn again. Turn again with me to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Just want to read these verses again. Beginning with verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he's among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I'll bring them out from the people. I'll gather them from the countries. We'll bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I'll feed them in a good pasture on the high mountains of Israel. Shall their fold be, and there shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture they shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. I'll feed my flock. I'll cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I'll seek that which was lost. I'll bring again that which was driven away. I'll bind up that which was broken. I'll strengthen that which was sick. But don't forget, he says, I'll destroy the fat and the strong. I'll feed them with judgment. Do I need him? Am I completely resting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I resting? Would you rest in your own righteousness? What's he say there? He says, I'll destroy the fat and strong. I'll feed them with judgment. I'll rest in Christ. Christ and Christ. He who goes out finds that which was lost. Seeks till he finds it. Puts it up on his shoulder. Carries it home. That's our hope, isn't it? That's our comfort. That's our rest. Christ. Christ is our hope. All right.